What's the quest, up, everybody? To defend more than just a championship, lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Patriots post-game show. My name is Michael Longi, and we are live here after the game. I'm here with my co-host, Drew Penn. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Patriots post-game show powered by CLNS Radio. My name is Michael Longi. I'm here with my co-host, Drew Kennedy, following a Patriots 51-17 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars in week three. What's going on, Drew?
Wow, that game was intense. That was so fun to watch. I mean, it wasn't down to the wire, obviously. We put a beat down on the Jaguars, but what else would you expect against the Jaguars? I mean, Patriots playing.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, we have a good bit of news here. Tom Brady with his 400th touchdown pass. We have Steven Gostkowski with his, you know, record-setting straight extra point streak. We have plenty of stuff to talk about today.
Absolutely.
But let's get started off. I just want to get your overall thoughts on the game. So I'm just going to give you the floor for a minute. And let you go ahead and speak your mind.
All right, then. Let me crack my fingers real quick. All right, here we go. Okay, so coming into week three, we had the great first two games. I wanted to see us come out with guns blazing, not holding anything back, try to get our offense, mid-season form, get our defense in mid-season form, and keep progressing as a team. And you can really see the coaches and all the players consistently trying to get better and better and better. And that's why I love the Patriots organization. I mean, besides the fact that I'm from England. Matt Patricia is really working with the secondary and the defensive line. Some really nice plays today by Jamie Collins. I noticed him quite a bit. Corey with the pick, obviously. Butler looking very nice. Almost had a couple of picks in the game. And I like to see Coleman in there taking over for Fletcher, who's been struggling recently. And it's nice to see Fletcher get out of there and see another guy get his chance to, make a name for himself. And I think overall he did pretty well. As for defense, as far as the offense goes, I mean, Gronk's dominating. You see Edelman in there doing his thing. Brady played very late in the game, which is kind of surprising given the score. However, I mean, I think he's just trying to get better and better and better. And I see the fire in his eyes, and he's focused. He really wants to, come out here and just prove everybody wrong that deflated balls didn't have anything to do with his wins last season. He is the greatest of all time, and he wants to prove it again. The offensive line, pretty impressive again, even with Wendell out again, and Stork obviously in the IR. A little bit of rotation there again, Klein switching from guard to tackle. Offensive line definitely impressed me once more. What do you think?
Listen, I definitely agree with you. Plenty of good stuff to see on defense. I mean, I kind of thought the offense would have a great game today just because, playing against a young defense.
Right,
but,
yeah.
Before I give my take, I kind of want to we have a caller already right off the bat. So I'm going to bring in Nick Sicario. And so Nick wants to talk about the defense. So Nick, you're live on the air at the Patriots postgame show on the FanDuel phone line. So what do you have to say, bud?
How y'all doing? Thanks for having me on the phone. I've been listening to CLNS various shows, the Celtics most frequently, but also the Patriots shows for several years now. So it's good to be on the air with you guys.
Thanks for listening, man.
Really, there's not much to complain about the Patriots. When you look at the offense, I mean, they just everything is rolling. I was very happy to see, Blunt get some touches because I've been a big fan of Blunt. I I currently live in Tampa Bay, so I've been following him since he was, you know, trucking people for the Bucks, and I'm glad that, you know, that he's found a role on the Pat squad. Deion Lewis, incredible. I think they said during the first week, Tom Brady was saying he's going to be a cult hero before the season is over, just with the way that he runs. Again, I live in Tampa Bay, so went to University of South Florida, and I got to see Deion Lewis run all over us for Pittsburgh. So I've been watching him play for a while. But the defense, the 17. What did they end up with? The Jags 17 points.
17.
I don't even think they should have had that 17 points. There's just too many. The secondary. There's just too many times in the game where there are these big lapses, and we get these huge chunk plays. And aside from Ben Roethlisberger, who you can argue whether he's, you know, a truly elite quarterback or not, I think not having Le'Veon Bell kind of, you know, changed their offense for that game, so we didn't really get a chance to see truly what, you know, Pittsburgh. Other than that, we haven't really played any serious quarterbacks. Tyrod, you know, Taylor's not a serious quarterback. Blake Bortles, I mean, I don't like UCF anyway because I went to USF, but I mean, I don't think I don't dislike the Jags. Obviously, I hate the Dolphins. I don't mind the Bucks. I don't hate the Jags. Blake Bortles would be all right, but he's not a serious quarterback. So, I mean, 17 points, you can't be mad. You know, they gave up 17 points, but still, a lot of that came from, like, these big chunk plays that we've been seeing.
Yeah,
I think,
that play with Hearns, definitely, for sure.
Yes.
I was pretty upset about that. I mean, I wasn't too worried about it, but my friends were saying, why are you getting so mad? But I'm like, I'm getting mad because that shouldn't be happening. A big play like that shouldn't be happening against a team like the Jaguars.
100%.
Nick, let me ask you. So you say they haven't played a legitimate quarterback, and I totally agree with you. Where do you see the legitimate quarterback coming up? I mean, Tony Romo's out. You see, Ben Roethlisberger got hurt today. I'm not sure if you heard about that. He was carted off the field with a knee injury.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, these guys aren't facing anybody until they face Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning,
he's not a legitimate quarterback. In my opinion, I mean, he's done. You can look at his arm strength. You could tell the past, you know, few seasons that he just wasn't built for that. I mean, the memes have been out for, you know, since he got to Denver that, you know, great, you know, even before that, but great, you know, regular season quarterback. But I mean, now that he's, you know, past this, you know, that age, he had that season off and he had the neck thing, and he's set records, you know, with this thing. But he comes to the postseason and flat, his arm is flat, and it's not a good sign that he's already looking flat. You know, he was looking flat in the preseason. So I mean, I don't see another one happening. And also, it's also a trend in the NFL, I think, because, you know, with the way the Seahawks kind of, you know, started dominating things, people wanted to build them high power, you know, defenses and kind of move, not necessarily, obviously didn't move away from the quarterbacks, but defense has been a focus. And if you look at, there really isn't on our schedule. Will we see one, you know, in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl? You know, God willing, we make it there. I don't know, but I mean, if guys like, you know, Tyrod Taylor and guys like, you know, Blake Bortles are hitting us with these big chunk plays, I mean, I love Devin McCourty. I think he's excellent. I think Malcolm Butler has been really nice in coverage.
Improving,
I think he's lived up to the expert. You're very nice, very impressive. It wasn't just a, you know, one play, you know, pony. He's been really good. But
he's stepping up for sure.
He stepped up for sure. I mean, you know, it's nice to see Daron Harmon get a pick at the end of, you know, in garbage time once in a while. That's great. But there's not that much. I think Jabal Sheard, excellent, you know, addition. I think the pass rush is probably, you know, should be as good, you know, now if not better than it's been. And I think that's going to maybe pick up some of the slack for that secondary. But when guys are getting burnt, you know, in coverage by subpar quarterbacks.
Our defensive line has definitely been stepping up quite a bit. And, I mean, it's also our deepest position as well. I think Belichick made that on purpose in preseason. But you're right, I totally agree with the secondary. We need to pull it together. But it's good that we got a chance the first couple of weeks. We played the Jaguars, not that great of a team. Maybe you know, make some adjustments. And the Bills, that game shouldn't have been as close as it was.
No.
I mean, 32 points against Tyrod Taylor, I don't think so. No thanks. But, I mean, as far as the schedule goes, you're talking about the schedule. Cowboys coming up. Tony Romo is out, obviously. And then we have the Colts. Andrew Luck has been really stinking up this season. I don't know what's happened right now. But I used to really like Andrew Luck, honestly. And I thought he was going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. I don't know what's happened this year. And I was looking at the schedule, and I'm looking at the schedule right now, and the Cowboys and the Colts were the only two, and the Broncos were the only three teams that I thought we'd have a problem against. All right, so now the Cowboys, Romo, Bryant, Colts, you know, not could beat them if we really, you know, focus on the game, which we always do, obviously. And I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm thinking we have a very, you know, great chance of going undefeated again this year. And I've been telling my friends, look, watch. We're gonna make a run for it right now.
Look, man, I totally agree. And listen, I just want to say, Nick, thanks for the call, man. I really appreciate it. I hope you call in again. For anyone else who's trying to call in, the number is 929-477-3386, excuse me, and you guys can call in toll-free, and we'll be taking your calls throughout the show. I agree with you. I think that there's a good chance that the Patriots could go undefeated this year. I don't know if it's definitely going to happen. I think that there's always that good possibility that, you know,
have that one of two games where you lose to some, you know, crappy team and then pull back to the next week and destroy the team we play next. But
I totally agree. Yeah. But where is the game going to come from? Where is it going to happen? I mean, Denver
I'm
is
looking
really,
at it right now. I don't know. I mean, Broncos is probably the only legitimate team that can probably beat us. I mean,
and I think that's only because the Broncos are at home and their defense is so good. Because
right.
I don't think Peyton at the end of November is going to be throwing the ball. And,
no, not
you know,
as well as he is right now.
And even against that defense, you know, Jeff Cain just brings it up to us right here in our little group chat we got going on. He says, I don't think the offense can be stopped. And, I mean, look, if you're throwing all these different looks at people and you can run Deion Lewis at them and you can run LeGarrette Blount at them and then you can run a four tight end.
Yeah, four tight end, yeah. Our
so many different
so
things.
Versatile right now.
Exactly. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to lead the Patriots to more victories. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's a shame that we lost players like Will Fork and Revis, because if we had the offense we had right now with like anything similar to the defense we had last season, man, I would come out outright right now and say we're going undefeated. The only question mark, obviously, is the defense. And I really hope that we can start seeing Coleman play instead of Fletcher. Is a big, you know, a big sign right there that we're making a step in the right direction.
I totally agree. I'm so glad that Bradley Fletcher was inactive today. That was the first thing
I
wrote.
I think all of Patriots Nation was, honestly.
It was the first thing I wrote down in my notes today was Bradley Fletcher's inactive today, thank God. And then saw Justin Coleman. And Justin Coleman got some serious snaps tonight. I mean, he played some good reps. And against an offense, I mean, say what you want about the Jaguars, but they have three guys that can stretch the field pretty decently in Robinson, Hearns, and then their tight end Lewis. So, I mean, that's a pretty good test for these young guys, especially like Butler and like Justin Coleman coming out having to play guys who really stretch the field all the way. You know what I mean? That's
right.
That's what you want to see. You want to see, you know, guys like McCourty making plays on the ball down the field.
I was really excited to see McCourty make that pick today, stepping up big.
Well, when you see that, you know that the corners have their guys locked down. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the safeties don't have to help as much. They can play more center field. And that's what you want in this defense, because guys like Harmon, you know, Nick mentioned that he liked to see Harmon getting those garbage time interceptions. And
right.
I know, I've said it before, too. I love Harmon getting those interceptions. He plays that center field, you know, just like McCourty. It's gonna look good. If they can stay back there, if Butler can handle his man and, you know, Coleman, I thought Logan Ryan actually played pretty well today, to be honest with you. Better than he usually plays. So I think that having the corners be able to at least, you know, defend their guys adequately and let McCourty and Harmon kind of play center field, I think that's where you're going to find the success with this defense, because the front seven is doing their job. Let's just be honest.
I mean, the first couple of weeks, the rush defense was a little bit rough. McCoy kind of ran all over us, and then D'Angelo Williams had his way with us. But I've seen consistent adjustments, and I mean, that's just, you know, a product of our excellent coaching staff. You know, Patricia and Belichick and everyone else, all the position coaches that we have, and we're constantly making adjustments. And I saw that against McCoy, I mean, the first drive, he walked all over us. And then right after that, I saw big adjustments. And it was very obvious to see. And it's, I mean, I guess the key word is adjustments. We got to keep, you know, fixing things and progressing. And I have no doubt the Patriots defense will end up being one of the better defenses by the end of the year going on to the playoffs.
And, you know, T.J. Yeldon going into the game was one of the – I think he was top five in touches so far this year. So, like, Jacksonville's a running football team. They hand him the ball a lot. So the
right.
fact that we pretty much, you know, neutralized him and mm-hmm. the running game, they also have Bernard Pierce, who has, you know, been known to break off some good games here and there. So,
right,
you know,
yeah.
the run defense did play well. I thought Jamie Collins played well. I think he's been playing great the past few weeks.
I noticed him more than any other defensive player today. He was all over everything.
He was all over
everything. Really great to see.
You know, and if he can do that, and he can also, you know, come through with games like last week where he has 2.5 sacks in a game,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's huge for this
yeah.
front seven. That's huge.
I think the first week, I forget when, but he was wearing the helmet with the radio headset in it, and he was kind of operating that off, operating the defense, which is great
yeah,
to see a veteran operating like that and making big plays. I mean, he's really stepping up this year. I hope he gets better and better.
Yeah, he's been mic'd up a few times. I think that, you know, there's times when Hightower and
right.
Mayo aren't on the field because of a third down situation or something like that. And, you know, Collins is that legitimate three down linebacker. He can play every down because he's
yeah,
so
he
good
can go
pass
in coverage
coverage
too.
Exactly. So I think that you're going to see, I think he's going to be the star of this defense going forward. You know what I mean? I think he's going to be the guy
yeah.
who probably will wear that Mike helmet pretty often, you know, going forward.
And I think that's mainly because of his versatility, and which is what, you know, Belichick loves in a player is the versatility. That's why he loved Edelman and now Collins. Like, if a player can play more than one position and, you know, and really help the team in a number of ways, then he's probably going to be a star for the Patriots.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, other defensive players who I thought played well today, I mean, he didn't get a lot of snaps because he's coming off the hip scare there. But Dominic Easley came
yeah.
through. He made a couple plays.
Right.
We had, you know, Malcolm Butler made some plays on the ball. He didn't have that pick. One bounced off his hands or whatever. But
yeah, next time.
Well, listen, he's still locking guys down. That's
absolutely.
Pretty much.
That's the important part, right?
That's exactly what it is. And like I said, if you have, you know, Bradley Fletcher didn't play today. Terrell Brown didn't play today, which I was a little concerned about because I thought Terrell Brown actually has played pretty well over the past couple weeks, you know, in his time there. I don't know if he's dealing with some kind of an injury, but I
think the Patriots is trying to get everyone a different look and trying to get everyone a chance to, you know, go out there and make some plays. And it's still early in the season. It's only 3 games in. And it's almost a little bit, not preseason, but it's still trial and error and, you know, seeing what works and what doesn't work. And what I mentioned earlier is adjustments, and that's, you know, what we're trying to do right now, figure some things out for the rest of the season. Because Belichick and Patricia know that our defense is definitely not perfect right now. So.
Oh, I definitely agree, and I definitely think they're working too hard to make sure that they fill these holes that they're having, especially in the secondary. Let me just say, if you guys want to call in with your thoughts, you can join us on the FanDuel phone lines at 929-477-2386. We'll be taking your calls throughout the show. Let's talk a little bit about Tom Brady. He set the record for, you know, he didn't set a record, but he's the fourth of quarterback in history to throw for 400 touchdowns or more,
right.
joining Dan Marino, Brett Favre, and Peyton Manning. You know, I thought once again he played fantastic today. I don't even have the stats up in front of me right now, but I can just tell you, you know, the way me and Pat Shankor talked about this last week, the way he moves in the pocket, Drew, is just fantastic.
It's a thing of beauty, really. I mean, all the credit to our offensive line, but there was some penetration by the Jaguars defensive line today, and he's not great at throwing on the run, but he knows where to move and then he knows when to step up, and it's small, subtle things like that that makes him one of arguably the greatest player of time or quarterback of all time. I mean, small things like that, moving, you know, a couple feet to the right, a couple feet to the left, or like just feeling that pressure closing in on him. And given there were a few sacks today, but even when there were sacks, he always wanted to go down and take the sack and not try to get a pass off and fumble it, you know? And even if he's feeling the pressure and he might get sacked, he's so good at throwing the ball away and making it completely uncatchable and not getting intentional grounding as well. It's just small things like that that people don't realize that make him arguably the greatest quarterback in ever or in the league right now currently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he's always been that guy. Everyone always says, you know, Tom Brady can't move his legs, he's not athletic, this and that, but he might not be able to move his legs, but he sure can move his feet. You know what I mean? He moves those feet around. He resets himself. He can make the throws. He made that throw, that touchdown pass on the run. Great throw.
Right, yeah. You know, yeah, that throw was actually impressive to me. I've always been kind of criticizing his throwing on the run kind of game, and today he kind of shut me up about that, which I like to see, obviously.
And, you know, people say, you know, he's a dink-and-dunk passer, but he was throwing a decent amount of passes today that were you know, 12, 15 yards and further up the, you know, from the line of scrimmage. You know, he was trying to throw the ball down the field. He was trying to stretch the field with Gronk up the seam, you know what I mean, with Dobson on that big pass interference call.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I like to see that he's at least taking the throws down the field, because that's one thing that everyone always tries to knock him on is, oh, well, he's a dink and dunk passer. That's why his completion percentage is so good here. Oh, blah, blah,
even
blah, blah.
If he was, then so what? So Joe Montana, and he has 4 rings, and you don't hear anyone complaining about how he was a dink and dunk passer. Like, I mean, come on. The people are just trying to hate on him, and that's silly. You mentioned his stats a few moments ago. Just know him here. He went 33-42, 358 yards, and 2 touchdowns. No interceptions again, obviously. I think it's 9 touchdowns on the season and no picks.
Yep,
and
yep.
So only, what, 9 balls touched today? I mean, that's just impeccable. That's just, you can't ask for anything better.
Well, look, I said last week, talking with Pat on the show, that I said, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think Tom Brady is going to have the best, you know, touchdown to interception ratio of his career this season. And at the time when I said it, I didn't even know what his current record is. He currently does hold the record. It was back in that 2007 season, and the touchdown to interception ratio is 9-1.
Wow.
So that's pretty much
he's already beating it, so it's 9-0 right now. So if he throws one more touchdown, he's already, I mean, ahead of it, given that
he's going to continue
that's
it.
That's a cool stat.
I think he's going to continue it. I think he's going to just – I bet you he throws no less than, you know, six or seven interceptions this entire season. I think he's just so locked in. He's moving guys around and seeing where the matchups are. He's finding guys like Deion Lewis. He's finding guys like LeGarrette Blount on dump passes. You know what I mean? He's utilizing guys like Scott Chandler and Rob Gronkowski. And now Dobson's getting into the mix with a downfield presence.
He has
presence.
So many weapons, and he's almost the coach at this. He knows the game so well, and he's been underneath Belichick for so long. And he and him have a great chemistry together, and understanding of the game, and understanding of their offense. That it's getting scary how good we're going to be coming this season. I'm so excited to watch it. I mean, 51 points today, given it was against the Jaguars, but still, 51 points. That's great to see.
I mean, I expected 51 points today. I don't want to say I expected exactly 51, but I expected, you know, I expected them to go out and dominate
down
this game.
For sure. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know, I honestly expected them to run the ball more than they did. You know, I it was nice to see LeGarrette Blount get those carries though, because he broke up a couple really nice runs. And
yeah, he has a nice read in the backfield. The whole play to the left or to the right, and he really made some nice reads.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, we also have had some guys that kind of made an impact you didn't even see. Keyshawn Martin, who, you know, came over from Houston, gets his Patriots debut today, has a touchdown reception in the third quarter.
Yeah.
You know, that's another guy. And then, listen, we don't even have Brandon LaFell back yet.
Oh, wow. I forgot about him almost. Yeah.
Everyone forgets about him. So, I mean, and then we haven't even mentioned Amendola's name. So,
it's scary how their offense is. If one guy goes down, you have another 4 guys who step up and make the plays.
And most of those guys don't even see the field and the goal line because we're running some crazy 4 tight end package or something, you know what I mean, to get all these guys, all these linebackers and defensive backs out of position, and they have no idea what they're doing. So
right.
I think, you know, we didn't really see any 4 tight end today. I don't even know if we saw any 4 tight end today just because Michael Omanau-Nui, I don't know if he played today. I don't know if he was active. But we did see Shaq Mason, rookie Shaq Mason, playing some fullback.
Wow, fullback. Oh, that's interesting, actually. I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, he came on a couple plays when LeGarrette Blount. It was towards the end of the game when they were kind of just they were running that power O offense.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? And they were just kind of trying to pound the ball out. But
well, that's
they did.
Cool to see. That brings me back to what I was mentioning earlier about the versatility. And if he's able to make plays like that, he's going to be in the Patriots system for quite some time.
Well, look, I mean, and then if he can play fullback, then theoretically you could line him up at tight end. You could line up with that big
yeah.
tight end set. You know what I mean? The jumbo tight end set. There's so many different formations
yeah.
that you can run. And, you know, guys like Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick who study the film just so much and they see
mm-hmm.
all these different matchups and all these different ways they can exploit defenses.
Right.
And they just go out and they say, listen, we have the personnel to do this. So let's just do it.
Yeah, it's good to see Mason stepping in at fullback, too. It's cool you mentioned that because Devlin's out for definitely. I'm not sure if he's able to come back all this season or not. I'm not sure if I remember. But I was kind of upset when he got hurt because, believe it or not, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it, but he's a very important part of our offense, and he makes some very key plays, and he's a very good blocker. And when he went down, I was kind of upset about that. But now that we're having, Belichick's seeing opportunities, see Mason coming at fullback. That's really interesting, actually.
Well, it was 6 to 8 weeks from when he busted his leg. I think he broke his tibia or something, if I recall.
Right.
And they said 6 to 8 weeks from then, and I think that was, 3 weeks ago, something like that. So there's a very good chance that he could be back week 9, 10, 11-ish,
mm-hmm.
which would just add another dimension because, James Devlin has been known to catch a few passes out of the backfield. He's got some good hands. He's a very smart player. So, I mean, that'll just be another weapon to add, halfway through the season when this offense is more than likely going to be really clicking because you'll have LaFell back at that point and all these different guys
right.
will be getting these reps. You know what I mean? It's pretty incredible to see, these offensive players coming into the system like Keyshawn Martin, who came into the system this year and already has made an impact. And, guys like Deion Lewis, who came in this year and are making a serious impact. Deion Lewis is becoming my favorite player on this team.
He is great.
I love how this guy runs. I love it. I love how he can...
His pitch is so much better than Vereen's. Vereen was physical and faster, but, I mean, Deion Lewis makes the nice reads, and he makes small adjustments while running that really make a great running back.
Yeah, I mean, and he's, for a small guy, he's very tough. He runs through tackles. He's extremely shifty because of his size.
Mm-hmm.
He's really just, he's got good hands out of the backfield. He's really that all-around back that Bill Belichick loves to have, that guy who doesn't
versatility.
Need to come off the field. that's the key word, right? I mean, that's the word at every position is the versatility, and he has these guys that are just that versatile, that, guys like Nate Solder, who could go out and play tight end and catch a pass. You
right,
know what
yeah.
I mean?
Or Mike Vrabel back in the day, too, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He just wants football players. He doesn't want
yep.
linebackers and tight ends and running backs. He wants football players who could play any position. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I think, and by the way, I just want to make one quick point, and we can maybe talk about this for a couple minutes here. I think I want people to stop calling J.J. Watt the best player in the league who doesn't play quarterback. that's Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Right?
That.
I mean, Rob Gronkowski is the best player who doesn't play quarterback in the NFL. And it's close, to being the best player overall in the league. I mean, this
yeah.
guy is if you
Next
cannot – yeah, right. I mean, you can't cover this guy. You
nope.
cannot cover him with a linebacker, with a safety, with a corner. I mean, I watched the first – what was it, his 30-something yard catch that he had in the first quarter?
Yeah, first play or the first plays.
He comes up the seam and literally just runs by Paul Posluszny and nobody's
yeah.
there. Like, you got to at least put a body on him, at least act like you're going to put a body on him. You know what I mean?
I mean, he's bigger than you, he's faster than you, he's stronger than you, and he's better than you. I mean, he's probably the best tight end in history, and, I mean, I don't know if you can call him that yet because, Gonzalez is arguably the best one right now, but I think at the end of this year or going the next year, I think it's going to be pretty clear that he's the best tight end in history.
Well, look, I mean, and just, comparing him to J.J. Watt really quick, I mean, he might be bigger than J.J. Watt.
I think he is. I would like to see tail of tape on that one.
I think we could both agree that he's probably faster than J.J. Watt in straight line speed.
Half his job is sprinting upfield. So
and he just makes so many plays on the ball. I mean, the way I think about it when I try to make this comparison is I'm like, all right, well, if you put J.J. Watt at tight end, he could do some damage in the red zone, but would he be the all field threat that Rob Gronkowski is?
He can't run like Rob.
Probably not. But if you put Rob Gronkowski at defensive end, right, and have him play J.J. Watt's position, you think he could dominate at that position? I think he could probably dominate at that position.
Yeah, I think he could do pretty well at defensive end, give him the chance.
So, I mean, that's just kind of – I mean, I know it's kind of a weird comparison, and there's no way you can really tell because, you know, Watt has played some tight end, I guess, but, you know, you're never going to see Rob Gronkowski lining up at defensive end.
No.
So it's kind of a moot argument.
He's valuable on tight end.
But, I mean, I just think that Rob Gronkowski is just physically just a better player than J.J. Watt. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just think
speaking of Gronk, I mean, I was playing against him my first week in fantasy, and that's when he caught, I think that was, what, three touchdowns? Or was it two?
There was three touchdowns in the first game. Yep.
And he had, like, 30 points. And I was watching, I was like, let's go. But at the same time, it was so hard to watch because he was just destroying me in fantasy. And I kind of want to transition, you know, talk here to fantasy, actually, because I had a pretty interesting day. I have three leagues, actually, that I'm in. And we mentioned Big Ben earlier, and him going down hurt me quite a bit. But also some pretty interesting other plays. You and I were talking about Randall earlier. Had two touchdowns in the first quarter and a touchdown later in the game, three touchdowns on the day. That was pretty cool for me, honestly. That was great.
I'm getting killed in fantasy this week, so I don't even want to talk about it. You can just go ahead.
Well, all right, we'll see. Cardinals defense, 26 points, two touchdowns and two interceptions right now. That's great to see.
Oh, well, I do have them playing, so that's good.
Yeah, that's promising, definitely promising. And he finally got a couple of touchdowns. That was good to see. And now that we're talking about fantasy, I mean, you guys have seen the ads. You know, your friends are probably playing. Now it's your turn to get signed up at FanDuel.com. I mean, it's the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. The money is real, though. I mean, they're paying out over $75 million a week this season. I mean, and it's very easy to get started, too. Just go on the website, just pick your players, stare into the salary cap, the virtual salary cap, and sit back on Sunday and watch your team win and make some money. I mean, as long as you know what you're doing, obviously. And even if you're not, go ahead and give it a try. Entry fees start at just $1. Anyone can play. And, I mean, if you know fantasy at all, if you have a league or two, get on FanDuel, and get playing. I mean, it's an easy way to make a little bit, you know, extra pocket money. I would go ahead and do that.
Listen, man, daily fantasy is the new way of the world, and everybody loves it. It's a great.
It's everywhere. It's taking over the sports world.
Listen, man, and it's a lot of fun, though. It's a lot of fun. It is. It gets new fans into the game. I think it's great. I think it's, you know, it's awesome that it's cool that it's a, you know. Different people who don't necessarily watch every single week can come in and they can, you know, follow these certain players and these certain teams and kind of just at least get into the game a little bit more.
Yeah.
I just think it's a great, you know, overall thing to bring new fans into the game.
It's another way to watch football on Sunday and be excited by every game you watch. And listen,
exactly.
Guys, if you're listening right now, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use the code Patriots and sign up now. It's a special offer for new users, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. So that, you know, that's a pretty good deal too. I mean, it's only good for the first 50 people that use my code today, Patriots. So don't forget to go on there, upper right hand corner, click on the phone button, and type in Patriots, and you can get your money match up to $200. Great deal. So go on FanDuel.com, that's FanDuel.com, sign up today.
And speaking of FanDuel, if you guys want to give us a call, you want to talk about little Patriots, we'll be taking your calls throughout the rest of the show. You can give us a call on the FanDuel phone lines at 929-477-2386. That's 929-477-2386, the FanDuel phone lines. We'll be taking your calls throughout the show, so be sure to call in. I just want to talk real quick. We'll go back to the defensive side of the ball before we go on. We'll kind of do a little look ahead to the bye week and beyond. But the Patriots currently lead the NFL with 5 interceptions this year, and I think that's a big stat because the Patriots have always been a team that thrives on the takeaways. You know what I mean? Back in the day,
yeah,
it was always a bend but don't break defense, quote unquote. But we always had came up with that big takeaway when we needed it. And I think that's going to be another big part of the defense this year because we don't have guys like Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner who can just simply lock people down. We're going to need to have guys who come in and can pick the ball off. And, you know, you've already seen so far this year guys like Malcolm Butler have really good hands. I know he dropped an interception today, but, I mean, it's not going to happen a lot going forward. Devin McCourty, we know, I mean, he led the league in interceptions as a rookie when he was playing corner. You know, back at safety, I think he's only going to – because guys are going to – teams are going to try to throw the ball deep on the Patriots this year. That's how you beat the Patriots. You throw the ball deep. And, you know, if guys like Daron Harmon, who we mentioned earlier, and Devin McCourty can play that center field position and can you know, kind of ball hawk and play that defense and come up with those timely takeaways, I think that's going to be – that's going to be the big way that the defense, you know, excels this year. It's going to be huge. So what do you think about this?
It's interesting that we have five. And earlier talking about how Nick on the phone earlier, too, seeing how he's lost the two. And it's just, our secondary is struggling a little bit. But we also have picked a little bit. And it's kind of weird, you know, dynamic. We're struggling with the big play. I think that's
Drew, bro, you're breaking up a little bit, Drew. I'm gonna try to get your thing fixed a little bit, but I do want to kind of piggyback on what you said. I agree. I think that the defense it's gonna be huge this year. Like I said before, I think the defense is gonna be huge. I think it's gonna be a big deal to get, you know, a decent amount of interceptions this year. Fumble forcing is huge too. Jamie Collins forced a fumble today. He forced a fumble last week. I think that's a huge thing as well. The front seven is going to have to, you know, play a part in doing this because, you know, eventually when teams, if the Patriots start picking off a lot of passes, the Patriots are going to come on and, you know, teams are going to come up against them and they're going to try to run the ball against them. And that's when you're going to need your other guys to come on and, you know, play some good defense. So what do you think about the front seven and the way they've been playing so far this year?
I mean, I can't. We were mentioning Jamie Collins there earlier, making some plays, wearing the headset too, being mic'd up. Ball Sheard, you know, he did team during the preseason, and he's been, you know, not amazing, but he's doing his job. I think he's going to get better and better. Who else is there? Nick has been struggling a little bit on the defensive side. I'm not too worried about him. He's always been great, whether he plays a linebacker or defensive. I think he'll round out and make a name for himself once again.
What do you think about Mayo? Because you haven't really heard his name too much so far this year, but he's been out there. He's coming off the torn. What is it? Torn pectoral, I think it was. And you know, that's kind of a devastating injury for an inside linebacker. And I just, you know, you haven't heard his name too much this year. I think part of that is because Dont'a Hightower has taken on such a strong leadership role from having to play that Mike linebacker position last year. So, I mean, what do you think about Mayo so far this year?
I mean, he's been plagued with bad injuries after bad injuries. I mean, and it's his first year back, and he's getting a little bit older. So I think this is kind of a recovery season. But it's good to have that veteran mind out there, you know, recognizing things in the past. This presence I've noticed in any kind of sport is really important and really helpful. And having Howard there with all that experience now, kind of being, you know, the operator of that defense and being still young and having the fresh legs, I think that's really cool, a really great duo to have in the linebacker position.
I definitely agree. And, you know, part of that front seven is the line. And you mentioned a couple guys before, Jabal Sheard. You know, obviously Rob Ninkovich has played well as, you know, in history. And I, like you, I expect him to play well going forward. I think Chandler Jones has been playing a lot better this year. He still has trouble setting the edge on the run, though, and I have issues with that because he's going to be depended on to set that edge, you know, pretty consistently.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got to learn how to do that. He's got to either, I don't know if he needs to get stronger or if he needs to, I don't know. He's got to get better setting the edge, a little more physical. He can't be as aggressive as he wants to be to, you know, fly up the field like he, you know.
I think that's his main game. It's just he's so aggressive and physical. He's able to break through the lines and make big sacks. When it comes to setting an edge, I don't know if he has it, and I'm hoping, you know, again, maybe he can make some adjustments and change his game a little bit because that's not very versatile of him.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. But, you know, that has always been his game, is that pass rushing. You know what I mean? He was never
right.
A strong run defender. So, you know, maybe you're going to...
He's the one doing that. He's the guy coming in there making, you know, aggressive plays and penetrating their line. Maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe that's just his role. I don't know.
No, I agree. And, he's probably going to have to depend more on guys like Dominique Easley on the inside and Malcolm Brown, who's a rookie who I thought played well today.
Right.
You know, he's going to have to depend on, you know, Rob Ninkovich has been a very good run stopper in the past. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, those guys. And then I think if the line can play well, if they can, you know, at least not get dominated, if they can at least keep the line.
Like week one.
Exactly. If they can keep it, you know, playing well. And
under
the line,
100 yards.
If you can free the linebackers up to really make plays. Because that's
right.
When you're going to get the best plays out of him. You're going to get the best out of Jamie Collins when he's free to fly around and make plays. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Last week when he had the 2.5 sacks and he's flying through the A-gap, you know what I mean? Because the line is handling their business. So
right.
I mean, that's a huge deal. I think that in turn, that will help the secondary. That will help guys like
absolutely, yeah.
Malcolm Butler.
It's kind of a give and take. I mean, one you know part of the defense helps the other part of the defense, and vice versa. And it's kind of the same. I mean, your pass game, your run game is going to do a little bit better. If your run game is doing well, your pass game is going to help that a little bit. You need that duo. You can't rely on one thing, obviously, and you need that kind of that give and take relationship.
Yep, absolutely. And just to remind everybody, if you want to call in. You can call us on the FanDuel phone lines, 929-477-2386. That's the FanDuel phone lines, 929-477-2386. Let's look ahead a little bit because we have a bye week coming up next week, so we won't have anything to talk about next week, obviously.
Right, yeah, it's going to be rough. Pretty early bye week, though.
Well, and let's start right there. What do you think about the early bye week? Do you think it's a help or a hindrance to the Patriots right now?
I think it's a hindrance, honestly. I think at this point in the season, we want that time to play. I think a late season bye week is helpful because it gives time for our players to kind of recuperate, and, you know, heal some bruises and things. Right now, I want to keep seeing these guys play and keep seeing who what player, what position is doing well and what not, and who isn't, and keep making adjustments and getting better. And I think. The early season bye week is probably going to slow us down a little bit, but I'm not too worried about it. But also, it was interesting. If Brady had served that 4-game suspension at the beginning of the season, he'd be coming back. No, he'd be coming back against the Cowboys and then playing the Colts. That would have been cool to see if, you know, he missed the first 4 games and then played the Colts. That's where the whole thing started. But, I mean, at that point, it's not even interesting anymore. I think it's going to slow us down a little bit in terms of making adjustments and progressions.
Well, you know, I definitely can see where you're coming from on that because, you know, the fact of the matter is the offense is playing so well right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't want to change up a good thing. You don't want to stop the momentum, you know,
right.
this early in the season. And, you know, another thing that, you know, would be a hindrance having the bye week this early is – now you're going to come back and you're going to have to play 12 straight weeks.
Yeah.
You know, 12 straight weeks of hard football in the cold,
right.
You know, bad weather. That could be rough on you. But, you know, a couple positives coming out of it is there's a pretty decent chance that we're going to get Ryan Wendell back, you know, coming into the Dallas game. So that could
point.
Be good. And, you know, also it's just another week closer to getting Brian Stork back. It's another week closer to getting,
mm-hmm.
you know, Brandon LaFell back, Devlin, all these guys. It's another week to kind of work with these, with this defense, with these defensive backs, and kind of, you know, make, because this week is going to be all about study for the Patriots.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I mean, for going forward. I think it's going to be a lot of because Brandon Weeden actually played really well today in the Dallas.
Yeah,
game.
I was impressed, really, honestly.
There was a point in time when I think he was 14 of 15 from the,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's really good. So and they obviously have, you know, probably the best defense, the best offensive line, excuse me, in football.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and if Joseph Randle can go off like he went off today, that's going to be a really tough matchup for the Cowboys. I mean, going into that game today, the Dallas game, I thought that the Falcons were going to dominate them without Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm not sure.
They almost look better, which is kind of, you know, strange, honestly. They almost look better.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, I'm not sure if Jason Witten played or not. I know he was dealing with several injuries, but.
Yeah, he had two sprained ankles and, like, a sprained knee. I mean, the guy's so old now.
And they still played so well. And, you know, they were up 21-0, 27-0, I think it was, you know, before Atlanta made their comeback. And,
yeah.
You know, that's going to be a really tough matchup for the front seven, because I think it was something ridiculous, like three or four of those five offensive linemen are first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, and I think three of them are Pro Bowlers. So it's
wow,
going to
yeah.
be – yeah, no, it's going to be really tough going against, you know, for guys like Brown, Chandler Jones, you know, Ninkovich, all these guys to get pressure – I think they're going to have to blitz a lot more if they want to get pressure on Brandon Weeden.
Yeah, I think putting pressure in Weeden will be definitely clutch, because he doesn't have that experience of being under pressure as much as Romo does. You know what I mean?
But let me ask you this right now: do you think that's what they'll do? Because there's two different ways. There's two different ways you can go about it. Because if you're going to blitz more, you know, that could obviously throw Weeden off his game, and he could make some bad decisions. But you could also rush four and disguise your coverages, which could also throw him off, you know, as not too great of a quarterback. If you're disguising coverages and you're sending guys in different positions and you're only rushing four and forcing him to throw the ball into tight windows, he'll probably make a mistake that way too. So which way would you attack?
I think the way I would do it, the way I handle everything in life is – one extreme isn't going to work, like anything in life, politics, whatever you do. One extreme of anything isn't going to work. You got to make the best of both sides and make a nice combination of a nice balance of things. So if I understand Belichick at all and how he works, I think there's going to be a good combination of, you know, plays where there's a lot of blitz. High blitz, hard blitz. There's also going to be different looks on, you know, in the secondary as well. And I think we have a great chance of beating the Cowboys, honestly. I think all down to it, our offense is much better than their offense. I think our defense is a little bit better than their defense. And I think we have the better coaches to be able to make adjustments against their offense on the defensive side. And I'm not too worried about our offense, you know, I'm not too worried about scoring fewer points against the Cowboys, honestly, and that's what it comes down to. I'm not worried about it. It might be a little bit harder than some other games, but I think we'll be okay.
No, I agree. I think that this is a win for the Patriots coming up, especially off the bye week. We all know that Bill Belichick is notoriously has a fantastic record coming off the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, you know, the only guy you have to worry about on the Dallas defense is Sean Lee, right? Because they don't have Greg Hardy back yet. They don't have Randy Gregory back. I believe he's injured. So their pass rush is not working well right now. They lost Orlando Scandrick, who is the leader of their secondary.
Yeah.
So I mean, really the only guy you're worried about is probably Sean Lee.
And he can't do it all. So.
And listen, what do you do with Sean Lee? You probably attack Sean Lee with Rob Gronkowski. Right?
He can try. So that's probably one of the better matchups for Rob Gronkowski, honestly. I mean, Sean Lee is probably one of the better defensive players in the league right now. So
I agree. And, you know, he is on the smaller side for a linebacker. You know what I mean? He's really fast. He's good in coverage, and he has great hands. but I just don't think he'll be able to match up with Gronk physically. You know what I mean? So if Gronk's running up the middle of the field,
I don't think anyone can.
But that's exactly what it is, and I think that's where you attack this defense, is you attack them right up the middle with Rob Gronkowski.
And Scott Chandler.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, maybe this is another game. I'm not saying, you know, throw the ball 59 times, but maybe this is another game where you throw the ball a lot more than you run it. We saw them run the ball. I didn't see the exact splits for the games yet, but, I mean, they ran the ball a pretty decent amount, obviously a lot more than they did last week. And, you know, I think up in this Dallas game, I think you might see again another week where we throw the ball a lot more than we run it. We're going to be on that fast track.
That's not a problem either. I mean, we have the ability to replace our run game with short passing with guys like Edelman and Amendola, you know. Brady has that, you know, that bullet pass ability to get, you know, fit balls in the tight, you know, windows. And Edelman has the ability to catch those balls. And I'm not too worried about it, honestly. I mean, that ability to create, you know, short gains and first downs off of our short pass game instead of the run game, if it's not working for us, is really, you know, kind of goes back to the term versatility. One thing isn't working, we go to the other thing. If that isn't working, we figure something else out.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be big. I think you're going to see a little bit more of Keyshawn Martin maybe in this game as well, because I think he made his impression in this game, right? I think, you know, he comes in and he catches a touchdown pass from Tom Brady. That right there gives Tom Brady that he says, all right, well, listen, this guy is a threat. I can throw the ball. I can throw this guy the ball and he can score. That could go a long way towards, you know, the amount of, you know, reps that he gets in live game action. So maybe you see a little more of him. He's kind of a speedy guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get a little more out of Dobson. I would like to see Dobson with a good amount of targets each week. Even if he doesn't get the catches, I want to see him get targets. Because if you can throw...
I see him spread the field, definitely. He's definitely probably our best deep threat. I like to see him spread the field a little bit more to open up the middle for Gronkowski, Chandler, Edelman, you know, whoever it is.
Right. And if you can throw the ball down the field to him, that's only going to open up the run game. It's only going to open up those short slants with Edelman and Amendola and the seam routes with Gronk. So if you can get him 5-6 targets a game, you know, 15 yards up the field, that's going to only help the rest of your offense. And I think it'll also help him in his development, because look, he still drops the ball. That pass interference play, he probably still should have caught that pass.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I was actually saying that earlier. I didn't even really see much of a pass interference. Maybe it was a couple of seconds before the ball actually got to where they were. But
yeah,
it wasn't enough to affect it. He should have had that ball right in his hands. He could have brought it down. But, I mean, I guess it didn't matter because you got the pass interference call anyways. But I like to see him make that catch.
Exactly. You want to see him make that catch because he has had a history of drops. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's one of those things that you just want to see that he's improving enough to the point where he can make a catch, even if he's getting knocked around a little bit. Because he's a big receiver. He's 6'3". He's going to get knocked around by these cornerbacks because they're not as big as him. So the fact of the matter is you're going to have to be able to go up and get the ball when someone's holding on to you. All the best receivers in the league do it. And if you want to be a good receiver in this league, you got to be able to do that. But I think that comes with game reps. I think he has to get more, and I think it's a good sign to see him play a lot last week and then see him play a lot this week. You know what I mean? And now we're going into a bye week where he gets a full week of practice again and maybe can make even more of an impression and get even more snaps against the Cowboys.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're giving him a hard time with all the drops and everything, but, I mean, the last couple of weeks he's actually you can definitely see improvement. And I saw a clip on Twitter earlier today. It was after one of the first drives last week, and Tom Brady was fired up, and he was saying, way to start us off, AD. AD. And, you know, it was good to see Brady having a little bit more confidence in him, too. And I think as time goes on, I think, you know, all the fans will start to have more confidence in him as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, if he can be a part of this offense, what is the one thing the Patriots have always needed? The down-the-field threat.
Deep threat.
Right?
Deep threat.
Down-the-field threat. So
ever since Randy Moss left, we need that deep threat.
So, and if you have a guy who's 6'3", who can run like Dobson can, and, you know, you got to be able to throw him the ball down the field. And that would just cap off the explosiveness of this offense.
If we get LaFell back too, I mean, then we're going to have two of those guys that have the ability to do that.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a potent offensive attack if I've ever seen one.
Potent's a good word for it.
And look, like I said before, I think, you know, we were talking about going forward, who are they going to lose to? Denver's the only team we could come up with, and that's even an if. And
yeah.
Look, if you
maybe Broncos or Texans, because their defenses, that's the only way that people are going to stop us and not lose to us, if they can stop our offense.
But listen, the offensive line has played so well, right, over the past few weeks, and then you're only going to get Stork back, you're going to get Wendell back.
Really, only going to get better, really.
And exactly, and
which is scary to say, given our play the last couple of weeks, in particular today.
Right, and it's going to be huge when you're dealing with pass rushes like Denver's and like Houston's. When you're dealing with those ridiculous pass rushes, you're going to have to be able to cycle in all these guys who have been getting reps early in the season. That's what I was. We were talking. You know, I was talking to Pat last week about it, and I said, you know, these young guys like Andrews and Shaq Mason and Josh Klein getting
these
reps.
Very impressive.
Listen, and it's been huge getting these reps. It's been huge because, you know, going down the road in the season, you're going to have to be able to cycle these guys in and out because they're going to get tired dealing with all these really, really good pass rushers because you're going to have to – you still have to play the Jets twice. You still have to play the Broncos. You still have to play the Texans. You still have to play the Bills again. You know what I mean? And you still have to play Miami twice, who has Cameron Wake and a pretty good pass rush.
Yeah.
So you're going to be dealing with a lot of good pass rushers and, you know, having these guys get – legitimate reps early in the season, I mean, I think that only helps you going forward.
Of course. I mean, these guys are getting all these reps and all these, and we're rotating a little bit now too, which is nice to see, seeing guys play different positions. Get all these reps now, when Wendell comes back and Stork comes back, they're going to have all this experience already. So then you're going to have them in, and you're going to have a presence there. And then when they get tired, or if they get hurt again, God forbid, I mean, then you have all these other guys already to step up and, you know, take on the challenge.
Absolutely. And so let's look at the offense going forward real quick before we wrap up the show. For those of you who want to get in a quick call, we got a few minutes left here. If you want to call in on the FanDuel phone lines, we're at 929-477-2386. That's the FanDuel phone lines, 929-477-2386. Let's talk about the offense going forward. The immediate future in coming into the game against the Cowboys. So I said that I think that they're going to attack up the middle with Rob Gronkowski on Sean Lee. I think that's how they're going to attack the Cowboys defensively. How do you think they're going to attack the Cowboys defensively?
I would probably agree with that. I mean, Gronk up the middle, Scott Chandler up the middle. You got to also abuse the fact that Skandrick isn't there anymore. Maybe get some deep threat with Dobson, try to get him going still. And also, I think we're going to be able to get some run game going. I mean, if we're killing them up the middle and we're in the pass game, then we throw some play action plays in there, you know, maybe some misdirection, anything like that. I think we're going to have our way with them, maybe going into the second to third quarter once we start getting into our rhythm and they start getting a little bit tired. I mean, but let me ask you this. If you're the Cowboys, what's your game plan coming in playing against the Patriots?
Well, we're not sure yet, you know, how healthy they're going to be. We don't know. I think there's a pretty decent chance that Randy Gregory is going to be back, you know, in their lineup by the time they play the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he would have been a top five pick if he didn't have, you know, I think it was like the weed problems or whatever he had.
Yeah.
You know, in the offseason, he would have been, a top 10 pick, they were saying, coming out of college this past year. So, I mean, he is a dominant pass rusher. And, you know, you're going to have –
he's coming off injury, you said?
He's coming off injury. I think he had a knee problem, but I don't think it was too serious. And then you're still – but you're going to have Greg Hardy back as well after serving his four-game suspension. You're going to have him back.
Yeah, they're great players, but, I mean, first game's back. People or players don't always just come right back in and play very well.
I agree. I think they're going to try, though. I think they're going to really try to throw all their pass rushers at this young offensive line. I think that's the only way you can really attack them, because if you can get Tom Brady on his butt, that's how you're going to win, right?
Yeah.
So if you can throw Randy Gregory and Greg Hardy and all these other guys at this young offensive line. Maybe you get through, maybe you get a strip sack here, something like that. You can make something happen, force a bad throw.
Or just some pressure. Yeah, if you're pressuring the quarterback, it leads to bad decisions by the quarterback. And even though Tom Brady is very good at throwing the ball away, making sure, you know, he doesn't get sacked or anything like that, having that those two talented guys, you know, coming at him with this young offensive line could give him a good chance of, you know, of taking the game.
I that's exactly what I'm saying. And I think that if you can do that, because we've always seen that that's the one way that you can really beat Tom Brady is to rattle him and get him moving his feet. You know what I
right.
mean? Not so well. But let's kind of switch gears. We'll go to the other side of the ball. How do you attack this kind of new-look Dallas offense? How do you attack them on defense when you have, you know, a quarterback in Brandon Weeden that you haven't seen much of? You have
right.
a fantastic offensive line. So kind of what do you think they're going to try to do to come at them that way?
I mean, I never, you know, predict what Belichick's going to do, but I guess what I would say is kind of the same thing what we said for the Cowboys, pressure the quarterback. I mean, yes, our offensive line is great, but what are we going to do? Just, you know, roll over and let them, you know, trample our defensive line? No. Our defensive line is the deepest position on our team, I believe. And if we can throw a lot of different looks at them, a lot of different players at them, and maybe Chandler Jones can really, you know, kind of go for his role and, you know, get through the line, then I think we have a good chance of pressuring Weeden into making some bad decisions. And, I mean, yeah, he had a great week this week. Maybe in his head he's thinking, wow, okay, maybe I'm better than I thought I was. I had a great week. We can go into this Patriots game with a defense who's kind of struggling, and, you know, he's probably coming in pretty confident. We'll see. I mean, if our defensive line can pressure him and kind of attack that great offensive line, then I think that's how we're going to handle it. I think that's probably the way to handle it.
I agree with you to a point. I think that we're going to try to get some pressure on Brandon Weeden, specifically just because, you know, he is a young quarterback and things like that. But I think Dallas's game plan is probably going to be to run the ball, right? So
with Randall playing that well, McFadden starting to play well too, yeah.
Exactly, and if you have that offensive line, if your defensive line can go up and kind of, you know, at least not lose the battle at the line of scrimmage, and like we said before, you could have these linebackers flying around and making plays,
mm-hmm.
I think that forces Dallas to throw the ball, and at that point, I think you drop back in coverage and throw different looks at Brandon Weeden and kind of make him throw a bad pass, make him throw a pass into a window that he thinks is there, but it's not actually there. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that might be a better way to beat him, because I'm going to be honest with you. I do like how we've been playing, and I do like our pass rush, and I like that Chandler Jones had 3 sacks last week,
yeah.
and Jamie Collins had 2.5, but I'm still not entirely convinced that the Patriots have a pass rush that's good enough to get through an offensive line that's that good.
Yeah, the offensive line in Dallas is definitely the best in the league, and I think that's kind of a – That's rough that DeMarco Murray left that offensive line. I don't really see the logic in that. If I were him, I definitely would have stayed behind the offensive line because he performed so well. And now Randall and McFadden are getting their chance to make a name for themselves. And Randall definitely set up this week. And we'll see how it turns out.
I agree. I think that, you know, the reason why DeMarco Murray was so good last week, because you're seeing it now. He's in Philadelphia, and the
mm-hmm.
offensive line loses the battle so many times that he can't get ahead of steam going. When he was
right.
in Dallas, you know, they were winning the battle at the line of scrimmage, and he was, you know, he was making contact 4 or 5 yards upfield. So,
yeah.
if as a defensive line in New England, if as a front seven in New England, you can not be pushed back. If you can stay at the line of scrimmage and kind of, you know, keep that battle even, and like
right.
I said, let those linebackers fly around. I think absolutely. That's the way you beat them, because at that point you force them to throw the ball, and you know, then at that point Brandon Weeden makes a bad decision, because he's not gonna continue to play as well as he's played, you know,
no.
this week specifically, right?
No, definitely not. I can't see that happening. He doesn't have that veteran veteran experience like a lot of quarterbacks in the league does, in particular like Romo. He's been around for a while, and actually I think he actually has the most comeback drives in the last couple of years. So he has that ability to make, you know, clutch plays under pressure. And I don't think Weeden has the same kind of mentality and ability.
I definitely agree. So, all right. So we're going into the bye week. We have kind of some things to keep our eye on. We want to see how Wendell is doing. We want to see if he can come back. We want to see, you know, how our other injured players are progressing along. But let's just get a real quick. Do you have a pick for the score of the Dallas Patriots game?
Oh, that's an early say right now. That's 2 weeks away. Let's see. Let me try to put something together here. Patriots, I'll say like 28 Patriots. Cowboys, say 21 Cowboys. 28-21 is my prediction for the score.
You see, I don't think it's going to be that close. I think the Patriots win by at least 10 points. I think it's going to be, I'm going to say 34-20 will be the final score. They'll win by two touchdowns, just because I think that the Dallas offense isn't going to be able to keep up with Tom Brady. And I just think I think he's so in the zone right now, and coming off that bye week and mm-hmm. possibly getting Wendell back. You know, I just don't think that the Dallas is in a position to battle right now for this win.
Yeah, that's a good prediction, actually. I said it a little bit close, 20-21, yeah. 34-20, that sounds about right. I mean, fully considering the way our offense is playing right now, we're just unstoppable. Play us. So 34-20, I definitely agree with that. We can definitely drop 34 points in the Dallas defense.
All right. Well, look, man. I think we've talked it out. I think we've pretty much gotten a handle on this game.
You want to do a quick play, offensive, defensive player of the game?
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'll start off. I'll give offensive player of the game because he's my favorite player right now, to Deion Lewis. I just think he provides such a great spark for this team. You know what I mean? I just think he can running the ball, catching the ball out of the backfield, making people miss, running through tackles. You know what I mean? You saw even when LeGarrette Blount scored those two touchdowns, you saw him getting in LeGarrette Blount's face and, you know, congratulating him and things like that.
I love that. Throwing it up, yeah.
I just think he's huge for this team, man. So I'm going to give him the offensive player of the game. Defensive player of the game, I guess I can give it to McCourty for the simple fact that he had the interception today. He played well. I also thought Malcolm Butler played really well, though, for, you know, dealing with all those down-the-field throws and things like that. I'll say as a whole, I'll give it to the Patriots secondary for defensive player of the game. What about you?
Man, you kind of stole my picks there. I was kind of thinking between Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount. I'll say LeGarrette touchdowns kind of late in the game too. He didn't even get any carries till like late in the game, really, and it was kind of interesting. So came in the game at 18 carries, 78 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a long run for 22 yards. And so I give him the offensive player of the game. I got to give defensive player to Gabe Cordy. I'm wearing his jersey right now, and I'm really pumped he got that pick today. And also, he's just, you know, the veteran in the secondary there, and I think he really stepped up today, you know, kind of gave an example to the rest of the secondary. So those are my two players of the game.
Awesome, man. Great stuff. Well, look, I think we've talked it out. We're off next week. There's no game, so we'll be back after the game, week 5, Patriots-Cowboys. Be sure to come in, tune in directly after the game ends. We'll be live, the Patriots post-game show powered by CLNS Radio. Be sure to give us a call.
October 11th.
October 11th, baby. We take your calls all game long at 929-477-2386 on the FanDuel phone lines. Thank you guys so much for listening. My name is Mike Alonji. Drew,
I'm Drew Kennedy. Thanks for listening, guys.
Drew Kennedy, thank you so much, man. It was a lot of fun. We'll talk
Absolutely.
Soon.
Pleasure.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk Radio. CLNS Radio.